afternoon, listeners and friends. You're very, very warm welcome on EBC Radio. And this is 1170 AM and I'm your host, Alka. And today we have a very informative show and we have very special guests going to be talking on how to take care of diabetes, especially South Asians managing diabetes during the COVID-19 pandemic. So we will be talking to Shailaja and Noel. And let's welcome first, Shailaja. I want to welcome Shailaja Mathur from Rutgers Cooperative Extension, which is part of Rutgers University. On behalf of Rutgers University, Shailaja has provided many community programs addressing nutrition, health, and wellness issues. Shailaja is a registered dietitian. Her area of particular interest in diabetes management and prevention. She is also very active on Twitter and you can follow her at RDNS Mathur if you want to learn more about these topics. Shailaja has had a long-lasting relationship with EBC Radio with her work on chronic disease prevention. Shailaja, very warm welcome on EBC Radio. And can you tell our listeners about this diabetes project you're working on?
Of course. EBC Radio ke sunne walon ko mera namaskar. Good afternoon on this sunny afternoon in June to all our listeners. And on behalf of our entire team, I want to first begin by thanking our funders from the Office of Minority and Multicultural Health, which is a department part of the New Jersey Department of Health. They have provided the support in addressing health disparities in the minority population all across our beautiful state of New Jersey. And this radio segment is also funded by OMMH. And our Rutgers team and our guests on the show provide the content for these radio shows. So I want to also thank you, Alkaji, at EBC Studio, for you have provided us a platform to reach the South Asian community in the tri-state area, and we have worked for many years. I want to thank also the members of our Rutgers team, which is Dr. Suchismita Datta. She's from the Institute for Quantitative Biomedicine at Rutgers, and also Dr. Nurgo Fitzgerald, who is from the Department of Nutritional Sciences. And our project coordinator for this particular project is Renu Advani. And I serve as the project leader for this diabetes project. And so OMMH actually funded this for 3 years, and we are nearing the end of these 3 years in June, which is coming up very fast. And this project focuses on diabetes education, management, and prevention that is tailored to the South Asian community. So basically, Indian community, Pakistani, Nepali, all these people, we eat similar foods. And so what we did in the first year, we identified the needs of this group. And then we recruited about 11 members from our community. And a big shout out to these dedicated members. Monica Mishra, Subarna Sani, Suman, Amra Khan, Munaza, Kishore, Ramola, Radha, Simi Kapoor, Anju Puri, and Kishan, they have all been dedicated members, and they lead our workshops in the community. And believe it or not, Alkaji, these combined 11 people speak 7 languages, and together we have done a lot of great work. So here we are almost at the end of 3 years, and we are all, loving serving the community through this work.
That is fantastic. I know, Shailaja, what you have done and what you have done through EBC Radio, it is really commendable. So now can you tell our listeners about Rutgers Cooperative Extension?
Thank you for this question, actually, Alkaji. It is indeed the best kept secret of Rutgers University. And it is actually the outreach arm of Rutgers University. So what we do is we take the research that is done in the university into the community. And Cooperative Extension has been my home for just about 20 years now. And we have Cooperative Extension offices in 20 counties of the 21 counties in New Jersey. But we serve all 21 counties, and there are 3 departments that make up the Rutgers Cooperative Extension. The first one is Department of Family and Community Health Sciences that I belong to. It is better known as FCHS. And then we have the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and known as ANR. And we have the Department of 4-H Youth Development, which is more popularly known as 4-H. And all these departments offer many educational opportunities to the county residents. And in our department, there are educators just like me. Some are registered dietitians, and they offer very similar programs in their local counties. So I know, Alkaji, that you cover, with EBC Radio, you do cover parts of Pennsylvania and New York. So for our listeners in Pennsylvania, there's Pennsylvania Cooperative Extension. And for those in New York, we have Cornell Cooperative Extension. And I would encourage all our listeners to contact their local cooperative extension offices and take advantage of these educational programs that are offered. Most of these are free. And this past year, through the pandemic, you know, there's a lot of work that has happened through virtual platforms.
That is very true, and I'm glad that you highlighted Pennsylvania and New York listeners also, so that they can connect with this program, and which is free of cost, and it's great for them to be involved in. So now, if our listeners want to know more or have any questions related to diabetes, how can they reach you?
Okay, so we invite listeners to email their questions about diabetes education to about-diabetes@rutgers.edu. So basically, it's about-diabetes@rutgers.edu. So our team receives these emails, and we will try to answer them on our future shows, or we will just respond to their email as required.
Excellent. So listeners, we are you're listening to EBC Radio, and we are in talks with Shailaja Mathur, and soon we will be talking to Noel, and this is how to manage diabetes during the pandemic. So Shailaja, this is great information what you have just provided, and I want you to take the liberty to introduce our guest in the studio today.
Thank you, Alkaji. So today's program actually is a little bit different. We gave it the COVID-19 twist. So we are today going to discuss what disaster relief is available to South Asians during this time. And we have all heard of what's going on in India. So with that said, I am going to take this privilege to welcome Noel in the studio today. Noel Davis is a New Jersey Disaster Response Crisis Counselor. She has been the New Jersey Hope and Healing Program Manager for Catholic Charities since it was awarded by FEMA Samhasa Grant in response to COVID-19 last year in April, so April 2020. And she first became involved with disaster response work while she was moonlighting as a part-time emergency dispatcher during Hurricane Sandy. And that effort opened the door for her to join Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Trenton's Disaster Response Program in 2013. And it was during her service to that program, she became a New Jersey Disaster Response Crisis Counselor. And it is my extreme pleasure to welcome you today to the show. Welcome, Noel.
Hello. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Welcome, Noel, on EBC Radio again.
So my first question to you, Noel, can you explain to our listeners what New Jersey Hope and Healing is, and what do you offer as an organization to the community?
Sure. So the New Jersey Hope and Healing Crisis Counseling Program, CCP, is offered through actually 12 different nonprofit providers and social service entities in collaboration with New Jersey Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health and Addiction Services, and it's their Disaster and Terrorism Branch, as you said, through a FEMA SAMHSA grant. Our Hope and Healing program at Catholic Charities is actually comprised of teams located in the Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of Newark, the Diocese of Metuchen, the Diocese of Patterson, and the Diocese of Trenton, so covering most of the state. The program is currently responding to the COVID-19 pandemic, as you said, and this is through December of this year. Disaster Response Crisis Counseling Program is a kind of a neighbor-to-neighbor approach to disaster response work, wherein ideally it's community members, not mental health clinicians, And they're trained in the CCP model to offer short-term, peer-based emotional support and information and referral pertaining to a given disaster. So I thank you for, you know, understanding the connection between physical health and mental health, that they're very well connected. So I think it is very relevant to talk about this program for your show.
Well, Noel, this is a great information, and this is a resource I did not know about it. So how exactly do you deliver this program on the ground?
Thank you. Yeah, so it is kind of misleading, crisis counseling. What it actually looks like is conversations where we're just trying to check in with the general public to be a sympathetic ear, person to cry to or get angry with, vent your stress to, just as you might do in any difficult time with a friend, a coworker, or a family member. The difference here is that, number one, we're trained in the best practice approach to appropriately respond to these stories and offer helpful techniques for coping. And number two, because we're not a friend, a coworker, a family member, and our services are 100% free, confidential, and anonymous, individuals can be free to express their true feelings without fear of that conversation following them or that they're being a burden to the listener, because this is literally our job. We also seek to create mutual community support by facilitating public education and support groups. These are mostly offered right now remotely via Zoom, and they're meant to address some of the impacts of COVID-19 and the social distancing restrictions, such as stress and isolation.
Wow, that is a lot, and that is so important in these times, Noel. And so can you share with our listeners the number to call, or what is the best way to reach for help? What programs are you offering to this South Asian population at this time?
Sure, yes. Yeah. So you can best reach us by calling. Like I said, it's mostly conversations. Our phone number is 732-204-6510. You can also email us at hopeandhealing@ccdom.org. That's at ccdom.org. And we also have a website, www.catholiccharitiestrenton.org/services/hope-and-healing. So this is on that website where we have some tip sheets and the monthly calendar of virtual groups, which are joinable via Zoom. We would recommend that any member of the South Asian population that's interested in joining one of our groups would do so. We offer meditation, self-care groups on multiple different topics for adults, and even more importantly, some really safe ways to have family fun, story time, crafts, games for children and families. And these are all throughout the week. We also often partner with community providers to present to specific populations, and we'll develop content that's specific to the needs of the community. So, for instance, for the South Asian population, if there's any providers listening, we really invite you to reach out to us and tell us what the needs might be of your specific group, and then we can offer targeted services.
Oh, that's excellent. So thank you, Noel. So the number to call is 732-204-6510, and we are listening to EBC Radio with this great information. And my next question to you, Noel, so in the South Asian community, we have noticed that when COVID-19 impacts a person or a family, they basically jump and get into an action mode. So they start to try to, you know, help in whichever way they can. So they start to send money, or they start working on sending an oxygen concentrator back home to India. And their primary focus is to help the friends or family that are in India. And what we have seen is they seem to not acknowledge their own needs in coping with, you know, that kind of news that they have received. They may also sometimes choose to find support within their communities. They might go to a temple priest or a close friend. But, you know, the temples also are, you know, not that excessive to everybody at this point. So what do you think you can offer to such families or individuals through your organization?
Yes. So first off, I will say that you are so right about this action mode. I think that this type of response is very common in most disasters. We saw this in response to Hurricane Sandy in 2012. The community rose up, helped to muck out flooded homes. They offered up resources from many whose own homes had been destroyed. You know, and I think that this occurs because when we are impacted by a disaster, there's a sense of powerlessness And these activities can be a very helpful and healthy way to re-empower ourselves, to remind ourselves that we can take charge to help alleviate some of the pain we see around us and even within us. But you're right that we need to take stock and ensure that we're not keeping busy just to hide from our own emotional impacts, because this will ultimately only delay and prolong our grief or whatever emotions we might be holding at bay. But this is not a small task, and it's not comfortable. So I always encourage people to turn to their support systems, to their trusted voices, to check in with themselves and how they're presenting. Because bottled emotions will find a way to seep out, even if we don't see it. But your loved ones may notice, and they're a good resource for you in that way. But on the other hand, not, as you say, not everyone has that support system ready at hand. And those that do maybe can't really lean on individuals that way. They don't know how to open up conversation about it. Or if you feel that you are a support for others, that you don't think that you can receive support within the same circle. So this is where my program comes in, and we can be that support.
Wow, excellent. So as you know, we all know that the situation in India is so dire, and there is a feeling of a lot of frustration by the fact that, you know, we are living so far away. And most people in the South Asian community are noticeably shaken up. And it is not a common practice for South Asians to take a mental day off and address their own situation. Most people do not realize that they need to seek help for themselves. They do not seem to want to acknowledge that they have their own mental needs. How can we encourage these members of the community to seek help?
Yeah, so first, frustration is common and understandable as a response to this situation, for sure. As is the distaste of being the recipient of help rather than the provider of help. I find that when someone considers themselves the strong one, they don't want to receive help or emotional support, maybe because they may think that accepting this or acknowledging it is somehow an admission that they're not as strong as they or others thought. And I'd like to bust that myth and present an alternative in which I would invite those individuals to see utilizing a program like this as strength maintenance, as a way of shoring up your foundation to fortify your own emotional health against a more difficult environment. And it may be cliche, but I would turn to an old adage here and remind everyone that you cannot fill someone else's cup from your own if your own cup is empty. And in the worst case scenario, you might just learn a stress reduction technique or two that you can pass on to someone else that really relies on you.
You're so right, Noel. Absolutely. I agree 100% with you. And, you know, I had a chance to look at your monthly calendar that was on your website and see, and I see all these wonderful, helpful sessions that you're offering to the community. I feel that only sharing the calendar may not motivate people to attend or sign up to attend, you know, such kinds of sessions with strangers. And they may be a need to include a personal touch or a familiar face that can convince them to attend. So what will be your advice so that people are comfortable in exposing their vulnerability and, you know, their own difficult situation? Could you share any ideas or perhaps examples where you have had success in providing disaster relief in communities?
Yes, thank you for that question, because you are very right. In many communities and with many individuals, there's an inherent suspicion toward new people, especially when it comes to opening up about emotional issues. And so this is why we do organize our groups around a topic or activity that unites the attendees, because you would be surprised how quickly a conversation that, you know, at first is just simply about gardening tips among those that garden for self-care will then turn into a story about someone teaching their children or their grandchildren how to garden, and then they're very sad about how they've not been able to do that this year with their grandchildren because of the COVID restrictions. And then they'll hear that same sentiment echoed back from another participant, even if they're a stranger. That can be very comforting, and there really isn't much of a wall that's given down, but it's such a comfort. But for those that are just not joiners and that are not going to log into a conversation among strangers, regardless of the topic, we found that a community partnership is key. So whenever we're invited to a pre-existing community, even if they don't think of themselves as a community, we've had great success. So I know that we attended a support group with yourself yesterday for the South Asian population. I believe it went very well. I can also say that we have made presentations, for example, to a preschool, to the parents and staff who didn't normally think of themselves as a support group. They were just receiving information about how reading to your small children can be a way to talk to them about difficult topics like the pandemic. But they ended up sharing so many stories within that group and within those meetings that they solidified a supportive community, and they continue to meet to this day. So I would renew the ask to anyone that's in a pre-existing group, whether it's a PTA, a book club, a group of parents that used to meet at the bus stop. You can please reach out and see what we might be able to do to offer something specific to your community.
Well, Noel, such a great information you have given, and it is an eye-opener, and people should really, you know, whoever have heard you, and there is so much of stress and anxiety and mental stress people are going through, especially in past 1.5 years. So now, what is your final message to people that are going through the stress of family in India, having COVID-related severe disease or loss of life?
Yes, I want to extend my sincere compassion and empathy to those in this tragic situation. I want to say it is okay if you feel sad or angry or frustrated or powerless. And I want to let you know that you do not have to bear those emotions or that grief alone, because you are not alone. New Jersey Hope and Healing is ready to support you, to help you find support within the larger community. So please reach out.
So can you say one more time, like, what are the contact and how can they contact your organization?
Absolutely. So you're looking to reach New Jersey Hope and Healing Program of Catholic Charities at 732-204-6510. I'm the program manager, Noelle Davies. You can reach me at ndavies@cctrenton.org via email, or the program at hopeandhealing@ccdom.org.
Thank you so much, Noel, for coming on EBC Radio. And now, Shailaja, what is your final message to the listeners?
Noel, thank you so very much for your time and for sharing all these wonderful resources that are specifically funded to help families during this time. I feel that the takeaway here is to reach out for help, and I hope that our listeners will do that. Just remember that if you or a friend or neighbor needs help, you need to call 732-204-6510. Help and support is only a phone call away, and like Noel said, it is confidential, and you will get, if they don't have anything available, they will refer you to other services. And that, you know, the final thing I want to say is that we are still living in a pandemic, so please remember to social distance and be vigilant. If you have not been vaccinated, please get vaccinated. That is the best way to get us back to normal times. And do not forget to keep sharing the videos that we have from this project. And you can reach us at about-diabetes@rutgers.edu.
Well, thank you so much, Shailaja and Noel, for coming on Airwaves of EBC Radio and sharing a wonderful information, and looking forward to having you more, probably next month soon, or maybe next week, who knows, right?
I think we have a program coming up, Palkaji, on the Monday, and we are going to be talking about the effects of sleep and stress on diabetes, and we have an endocrinologist, Dr. Patel, from the Joslin Diabetes Center, who will be our guest on that show.
Excellent.
So that has been confirmed, and we will look forward to meeting the listeners then.
All right. So next Monday, 28th at 3 p.m. Yes. Again, we will be with About Diabetes, All About Diabetes on Airwaves of EBC Radio. So thank you. Thank you so much again for bringing all these very informative shows on our radio for our listening. A pleasure for our listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.